We're in Yitzivot Shalom on Sefirat HaOmer, on Chilak Bet of the additional volumes, on page Shin Yir Aleph, the first piece on Sefirat HaOmer, Klalut Inyan HaSefirah. So the last time that we met, in the previous year, so we did so to speak, Sifim Aleph and Bet. And we'll start from Gimel. We asked a lot of questions about Sefirat HaOmer. We talked about how the goal of Sefirat HaOmer is to work on one's character traits, to bring a hashlama, complete Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remove oneself completely from the 49 levels of Tumah of Egypt, and to move oneself into the 49 levels of Kedusha on their opposites and corresponding spectrum. And all of the details that went into that in terms of what we discussed last time. So we're starting from a new section of the piece, from Gimel on page Shin Yud Bet. V'yish od inyan ha-basfirah. There's a whole other aspect of Sefirat HaOmer. She'achana l'chag ha-shavuot u'l'kabalat ha-torah. So you wanted to do Shavuot, so we're going to do both. Yeah? So Sefirat HaOmer is a preparation for Chag ha-shavuot and for the receiving of the Torah. V'inyano kimo shekatuv. Rav Chaim Vital, I think, is what he's referring to here. Shetaharat hamidot hi bechinat kisei u'merkava lekabalat haTorah. The concept of purifying one's character traits is basically like a seat or a chariot for kabalat haTorah. Meaning, when we purify our character traits, we're creating ourselves as a vessel that can receive, that can hold, on which the Torah can sit. Or rest in or ride in, to use the mishalim here of a chair or a chariot. That's what's creating that space for it to be able to sit and to travel with us, is going to be the refinement of our character traits. Ki kol od shiyudi eino mitzaher midotav, that as long as a person has not purified their character traits, eino yachol lekabel ata Torah kedosha, a person, they can't receive the Torah. And the Torah can't rest inside of them, meaning a person has not prepared themselves to actually receive that which they're getting to receive the Torah, on the one hand. And on the other hand, not only can they not receive it, but on the side of the object itself, the Torah can't enter. The Torah itself doesn't fit through that space. The Torah itself, it's trying to fit a square peg through a round hole, so to speak. You haven't opened yourself up in a way where the Torah is actually able to enter inside of you. Alkein, kachana lekabalat haTorah, natan lanu Hashem yiparach et imei haSefira, she'avoda bahem hi b'tzarat midot, kedei shiyu ru'uyim lekabalat haTorah kedosha. Therefore, as a preparation for Kabbalah Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Sefirat HaOmer, where the work of it is to purify our character traits in order that we should be proper for us to receive the Torah. V'yita b'sar makadoshim, Sheminyan Memtet Yimei HaSefira Oleh B'Gematria Lev Tov. A relatively well-known gematria, beautiful gematria as it relates to Sefirat HaOmer, that if you take the gematria of Lev, what do you get? 32. And you get, what's the gematria of Tov? No math majors here, clearly. Yeah, 9 plus 6 plus 2? 17. What's 17 plus 32? It's 49, right? The end point was predetermined. Yeah. The end point is that it is 49. That when you take up the 49 days of Sefirat HaOmer, when you take up the 49 days of Sefirat HaOmer, you can divide them into two distinct sections or categories, of which the gematriot of those two sections end up with Lev Tov. Because the goal of Sefirat HaOmer is to build up a Lev Tov.
Not that we're there.
No, 100%. Like, I was actually going to go there next. That's exactly no. One needs to do that. Meaning, you can divide anything in a cute way. The point is that gematrias aren't cute. People very often misunderstand gematrias. I wouldn't say it's so strongly. If I thought anybody here thought that, but just to reorient ourselves to what gematrias are about, it's a recognition that if a HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and his Torah is infinite, and his creative capacities are infinite, and therefore Lashon HaKodesh is infinite, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom and infinite capacity, can create the Torah in such a way where the words and the letters have layers of meaning, not just within the words and the letters themselves, but even in terms of their corresponding numerical values. To say that that's not the case is to deny the infinite capacities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And its gematrias end up getting used as such a joke that gets lost. in a beautiful way. I don't mean this in a disparaging way at all. You know, just because even the way that colloquially we just relate to them, my father even sometimes listens to the shira. He won't be upset with me. But I'll find out when he calls me up after the shira, after he listens to the shira in his car and tells me. But I still remember when I was a child at my stepmother's 30th birthday party. It was in the back room of a gym. And my stepmother's surprise 30th birthday party. They were married for 6 years at that time. And I remember that because it's a joke. He said, in Gematria, you take 30. In Gematria, you take 6. What do you get? Lamed Vav, because I love you. And I still remember that, like, you know, I was appreciative of the fact now that he at least, you know, had that appreciation for Gematria's. And I hope, again, he won't take it personally that I'm sharing that on to the public. But he said it in front of a lot of people in the room. But the idea of Gematria's being a cute thing is it can be used in that way. It was meant to be cute. But when we, you know, when we from the pulpit or when we in Shirim kind of wave off Gematria's, is something cute to just be able to Hasidic Rebbe so and so said this, you know, it's a gematria and whatever. It can't just be a gematria and whatever. Gematrias are very, very serious when they're coming from serious sources in our Svarim HaKadoshim. They're very, very serious. They're relating to the infinite nature of Torah. The infinite nature of Torah. And so, when you end up with a gematria like this, you say, if you break up 49 into 2, you get Lev Tov, because you're supposed to work on your Midas and Sefiras. No, that's, first of all, it's real. It's Lev Tov. If it was said in the Svarim HaKadoshim, they're called Svarim HaKadoshim for a reason. And second of all, Batsheva picked up on, there are going to be layers and layers to meaning of that as well, and it's not stam, because this is an emistic gematria, that what's the turning point where this Lev Tov is coming out of? What did you point out? That it's literally transitioning at Lag BaOmer. The first 32 days of the Omer, the first Lamed Bet days, have a reality of Lev, and somehow this last 17 days have a reality of Tov. When do we switch into the Tov section of Lag of when do we turn to the Tov section of Sfirat Omer? On Lag BaOmer. And then think about the fact that when do we switch out of the Avelus of Lag BaOmer? Did it again. When he's out of the Avelus of Sfirat Omer, on Lag BaOmer, we seem to switch to a reality of Tov. These things are very deep. And to recognize that when a gematria is coming from one of our Svarim HaKadoshim, it's not just a chance to say, there's a connection here, Beseder. It's to think about it, it's to contemplate. It's to really, really contemplate. When Sulam shares the same gematria as Sinai, when you want to think about things coming up to Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai, and we know that the Sulam of the Dream of Yaakov Avinu shares the same gematria as Sinai, when that gematria is, you have to think about them. What is the connection between the ladder of Yaakov's dream, or a ladder in general, and Sinai? If you want to even bring it very much to where we are now, what might be the connection between a systematic stepping up and raising up of oneself, step by step, level by level, to the ability to reach the peak of Har Sinai? I think that's actually a beautiful way to describe Lag BaOmer. I start doing it again. I'm sorry. I love Lag BaOmer. I apologize. Describes Sfiras HaOmer. That it's a step up process, step by step. But then when you hear these gematrias, when they're coming from significant sources, to remember that the gematrias are very, very real and very, very significant, and to take them very seriously. And that's what we see here again, even in this beautiful, seemingly pithy gematria of Lev Tov, which does speak to the heart of what Sfirat HaOmer is, of what Sfirat HaOmer is about. That it's about purifying one's heart and one's midot. At the same time, recognizing, as Batsheva immediately jumped on, that it's also significant, jumps out at you, that the transition there is going to be a Lag BaOmer. Tov?
Lev Tov.
Lev Tov. Tov. Excellent. The Gematria Lev Tov. Asher bazen nichlalin kol inyanei tarat amidot shebin adam lachaviro, which includes all of the purity of our character traits between man and his friend, bin adam lachaviro. Gediita ba'avos, as it says in Masachas Avos, chamisha talmidim hayu l'rebi. Know that by heart. We all have a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. I can't find it, we'll just go forward.
It has a list of gematrias in the city. In the city.
Excuse me?
There's a list of the gematrias.
No. It's them looking up the Mishnah. Look up the Mishnah. I'll look it up later. Seder, I apologize. Tov, he had five talmidim. Amar lahem, ru'u izehi derech tova shidabek baha adam v'chulei. See what a great way it is for a person to connect, assumably, to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach omer leiv tov. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said a leiv tov. Amar lahem, ro'e ani et divrei Elazar ben Arach mi divrechem shebichlal divarav divrechem. Basically, he asked his students to say what's kilu, the most important thing that a person should connect to. And each of his five talmidim give answers. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach says that the most important meter to have is a leiv tov. And his Rebbe said, I follow you, because what you said in making sure that you have a leiv tov, that encompasses all of the other midot. Ki alev hu shorash kol midot. The heart is the seat of all of our midot. It's the source of all of our midot. It's the root of all of our midot. Od ita shemesaper memtepe gematria kel chai. There is also true that the gematria of Memtet is the same gematria as Kel Chai. Aleph and Lamed is 31. Chet and Yud is 18. 31 plus 18 is 41, is 49. It's 49 again. Kel Chai. Ukedita meha Ari HaKadosh. The Arizal says, Sheze Hashem HaKadosh Shel Midat Yisod. That this is the Midah of Yisod. And we go through, as we've been through many times, the Midot. And if you follow in Sefirat HaOmer, like we talked about last time, and you look at the Midot on the side of your sitter when you're counting Sefirat HaOmer every night, the sixth midah is the midah of Yisod. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Chod, and then Yisod is six, and then Malchut. Shekasher metaher midat zo, when a person purifies this midah, the midah of Yisod, Hareu magia laharagish chayut be'elokut, then a person can truly feel a life of Elokut, can feel a life force of Elokut. And that comes through, meaning he's saying Memtet is gematria kelchai, because a person can feel the living God inside of them when they've been metar themselves in the midah of Yisod. Why the midah of Yisod? Because without getting into the details, what Yisod is doing, the function of Yisod is the funnel by which the spiritual reality is able to get funneled down into reality. But the conduit that connects spiritual potential to manifest reality is the midah of Yisod. That's the conduits. That's all we need to understand in terms of Yisod for our purposes here. And if that's the funnel and that's the conduit, so for a person to truly experience Kel Chai, they need to be metahir their midah of Yisod. And being metahir their midah of Yisod is happening during the gematria of Kel Chai, which is Sefirat HaOmer, during those 49 days. Was that clear? Enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Tafkidam shelimei sfira hu letaher lezakeh kol amidot. The purpose of the Sefirat HaOmer is to purify oneself on all level of their midot. Hein elu shebein adam lechaviro, whether between one person to another, lehasig bichinat leiv tov, to achieve the level of leiv tov, vehein elu shebein adam lemakom, and also in terms of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, hanichlel bekel chai, which also in relationship to kel chai, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the preparation that we need for Chag HaShavuot, for Kabbalat Torah, which is all dependent upon our purification of our character traits during Sefirat HaOmer, between us and our fellow man, and between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all levels of our midot. Just to give two examples, I think it's worthwhile to just give two examples. What are we dealing with on the first 33 days of the Omer that creates a reality of Avelut? The death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Why did the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva die? What does the Gemara say? Zebaze. Excellent. Perfect. Shalinagu kavod zebaze. That they didn't act with kavod one to another. Which means that one of the inherent, and one of the questions is why during Sfirat HaOmer? Because Sfirat HaOmer is specifically a time where we're meant to be working on our midot, but not on the chaviro. And that aspect of it, the failure of the students of Rabbi Akiva, expressed itself specifically during Sfirat HaOmer, which is a time where our midot are more under scrutiny. Because if the potential exists within the Omer to purify ourselves, and we don't take advantage of that, that's an extra failing on the level of midot. So on the one end, we have to work on our midot, ben adam lechaviro. Where do we see in the concept of Sfirat HaOmer there being a necessity of working on our relationship ben adam lemakom? So that's a lot less simple to see based on how we normally relate to Sfirat HaOmer. So I'll tell you one of the most manifest places where it exists. What parsha in the Torah, underratedly, is the quintessential parsha of Sfirat HaOmer? I'll give you a big hint. There's one parsha in the Torah which deals with Yetzias Mitzrayim. And there's one parsha in the Torah that exists with that deals with Kabbalah Satorah. And there's only one parsha between the two. Which parsha is that? Which parsha do we receive the Torah? Do we receive the Torah? Kabbalat Torah? Yitro in Shmot. Which parsha do we leave Egypt? In Parshat Bo. What's between Bo and Yitro? Beshalach. Which means, and again, normally we don't think about it like this because there's so much. Beshalach is such an action-packed parsha that we don't often think about it like this. But if we leave Egypt in Bo, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. What chag is that keneged? Pesach. And if we receive the Torah in Yitro, that's keneged Shavuot. So what happens between Pesach and Shavuot? What parsha takes place between the leaving of Egypt and the receiving of the Torah? Beshalach, that means that Beshalach is the quintessential parsha of Sfirat HaOmer without ever talking explicitly, well, it actually does hint to it, but without seemingly talking about Sfirat HaOmer at all. So if you want to understand on a Torah level what Sfirat HaOmer is about, go back to Parshat Beshalach. Yeah?
Hey, we haven't gotten up to the Midrashah, but is Beshalach like, I don't remember, like, what's it about?
In Beshalach, we go through Kriyas Yamsuf. Then let's talk about what else happens after Kriyas Yamsuf. After Kriyas Yamsuf, we have Meimara, where we argue with God about water. It's our first conversation with God about is He going to sustain us in the desert? Then after we take care of the water, what do we ask Him about?
Slav.
No, the Slav is in the Slav as a topic, meaning where it's really dealt with. That whole argument really happens in Bamidbar. But about food,
cucumbers.
About food, what food do we get in Beshalach? The man. That's the next. Is the conversation about food, and we get the man.
Relationship with God.
Yes, you see where we're going. Yeah. We say, "Oh, Kadosh Baruch Hu, are you going to give us food?" He gives us the man. Then what happens? We come to Masa Umiriva, and we say, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're complaining about water," and that's where we say, we ask possibly the most painful question asked by the Jewish people to God in all of Chumash. I think there's possibly one more painful question that's asked by particular individuals to Moshe Rabbeinu. But potentially the most painful question asked by the Jewish nation to God is, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin, is God really amongst us or not? Which immediately brings about a reality of Amalek. And that's how the parsha concludes. So like Bat Sheva picked up on, what is then the underlying theme of the entirety of Parsha Beshalach?
Trusting Hashem.
Emunah, which is what is actually the topic of Kriyas Yamsuf, Emunah, and our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So while on the surface, Sfirat HaOmer doesn't necessarily seem like our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it is entirely about our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if you look at the Rabbi Akiva, the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva piece, all of Sfirat HaOmer is begging us to work on our Midot Ben Adam L'Chaviro, and if you look at the Beshalach piece, all of it's begging us on our relationship with Ben Adam L'Makom. And those two aspects are exactly what he said here. But that's why, like I mentioned in the first year on Sfirat HaOmer, I love Sfirat HaOmer because when you start to get into it, these underrated holidays or times of the year, like Sfirat HaOmer and Lag BaOmer and Tu B'Av and Tu B'Shvat and all of these times, which we often kind of wave off as being whatever, these kind of like these nice times of the year. When you start looking into them, all of the pieces start to coalesce in these gorgeous pictures of what's happening underneath the fabric of reality. Everything coalesces in an amazing way. And this is really that time where when you start, again, so even with the framework that I just gave you, You can go back and read Parshat B'Shalach and look at it through new eyes as a Sefirat HaOmer Parsha. Go back to the concept of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva and start to think about how did this all play into being Matar ourselves in our Midot, and how are all of these prerequisites for Kabbalat HaTorah? How are all of these necessary, essential prerequisites for Kabbalat HaTorah? Baruch? Clear?
Is there Be'an L'atzma involved? Like once we're doing
it? So when I've given Shiram on this, I would claim that there is. I would claim that there is.
Are all just connected? At the end of the day, though, then what is the focus? Ben Adam Chavir or Ben Adam Malkavir?
So he just said it's both, and I'm saying not only is he saying it's both, I think really built into to the fabric of reality and the fabric of the Torah, it's both. It's working on our midot on every level. That means Ben Adam Chaviro, Ben Adam Makom, both of them are
all connected.
They're all connected, and they're all significant factions of it. And I would say the missing piece here has been Adam La'atzmo. This is potentially a stretch. I feel very strongly about it. I think that a lot of what's happening in Parsha B'Shalach is very clearly about Adam La'atzmo, including the question about Yesh Hashem Yekirbeinu Im Ayin. However, that being said, I think that the question of Hayesh Hashem Yekirbeinu Im Ayin, which is, you know, the kind of the apex of Parsha B'Shalach, meaning that's the crescendo, that's when we finally ask that heart-wrenching question. I think it's got a layer of Ben Adam L'Makom, but I think it also has another layer to it. I think it has a layer of Ben Adam L'Atzmo. Meaning, Hayesh Shem B'Kabinu Imayin could be a question on God, or alternatively, it could be a question on
yourself, like if you...
Am I deserving of having God within me? And that becomes a self-confidence question. Do I treat myself right? Do I take care of myself? Do I believe in myself? And I think that there's a very strong layer there of Ben Adam La'atzmo in that question. Not to undermine the deep break in relationship between Adam, Ben Adam Baruch Hu, and Ben Adam Lemakom in that question. I'm not trying to undermine that. I'm saying another layer of that question I think is very much related to Ben Adam La'atzmo. And I think that that is the last piece of the kind of trilogy there of what a person needs to work on during Sefirat HaOmer.
Where does Meraglim happen, by the way?
In Shlach. In Bamidbar.
Okay.
We still got a while.
Okay.
That's happening in the heart of the summer, and exactly around the time of the summertime, which is all relating around the breakdown of our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Things to talk about for another time, yeah.
Now, do you know if there is anyone that brings down that it's also about Ben Adam La'atzmo?
I've never seen it written explicitly, but I've never seen it argued with, meaning... That's another layer of midot. And the one thing that nobody argues on is that one needs to work on all layers of midot anyway. But I do believe that it is implied there. But I've never seen it written explicitly, no. But there are chavshar. Tof. So let's go forward. But I just wanted to show you that again, I think it's, you know, if you take that, it's not even just conceptually, it's just very grounded. It's in the fabric of this time. V'im katav, the first word on the line is V'im. V'im katav ha-maharal, shehashlimut ba'adam kolelat gimel inyanim. Oh, that wouldn't that be awesome if he just says it right now? If the Maharal says that the perfection of a person is comprised of three components, shalim im boro, im chaviro, v'im atzmo, we found the source, we found the sefer, v'im atzmo, I mean, the Maharal didn't say that yet about Sefirat HaOmer, the Netivot Shalom is going to derive from that, hinei, et hashlimut hazot tzarich ish yudi la'asig b'tkufa zo, kedei sheyeh ra'oi l'ashra'at ha-Torah kadosha, asher tishkon b'kirbo, meaning, so the Netivot Shalom says it's based on the Maharal. If the Maharal says that there are three layers to a person, their relationship to themselves, their relationship to the other, their relationship to God, and this time period is Sefirat HaOmer is about purification of all levels of our midot, then it must be that we have to purify ourselves on all three levels, which is what we just said. So good, we were mechavin to the Nesivot Shalom. Baruch Hashem. So he says, so this whole period is meant to be an opportunity for us to purify ourselves on all levels in order to receive the Torah. Umaran Adonenu Morinu Varabenu Beit Avraham Zichotei Gan Aleinu. So the slow number says, Shebet Kufat Svirat HaOmer Koreim BaTorah TaParshiyot HaKolelot Kol Inanei Nigaim V'Inanei Tumah VeArayot. Ah, one of the aspects we didn't touch upon yet, right? As we talked about, I think, in previous shirim, that not only is Hazman Me'orer HaTakriya, that the time creates a reality within the Torah readings, meaning we just came out of Pesach, so what did we read on Pesach in shul? About what did we read on Pesach? Yitzias Mitzrayim. Meaning despite the fact that the first day of Pesach and the second day of Pesach, for that matter, were on Shabbos, we didn't read Parshat HaShavua, we read about Pesach, which creates some problems for us to catch up to Eretz Yisrael. We're Parshat of Eretz Yisrael now. I texted somebody, can you lane an Aliyah on Parshat Shemini? And he texted me back. He said, did you just send this now, or was this delayed by a few weeks? And I was like, no. I love the fact that you're in tune with Eretz Yisrael, but you're in America now, I need you to lane Shemini, not the Zriyam and Zorah. But it was funny. The immediate inclination was, is this a delayed text message? Like, what happened? But I realized why he thought that. It was very funny. But yes, we're off now by a week. But that's because of the concept of hazman me'orerata kriya, the time that Reen creates a reality of kriya satora. On the flip side, though, in Tivot Shalom, what?
If we're doing one thing here in Israel, is that like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but like...
What does it mean that you can have a reality where like, Eretz Yisrael is in one reality and that Chazar is in another reality for another time? But yeah. Yes, that is clearly an indication. However, keeping local, but I think that there's tremendous significance to that. I'm praying my whole drush on Friday night about that because I think it's something which needs to be thought about more critically. But coming back to Ari Inyan, so what we're saying here is, on the flip side, says the Nitzvot Shem says it's in multiple places. Hakriya me'orera tazman. That if there's a certain time period of the year where we're reading certain parshiot, it is absolutely legitimate and necessary to say that whatever we are reading at any particular time of the year is also inherently linked to that time of the year. So, if during Sfirat HaOmer we're reading basically the entirety, not like some of, we're reading almost the entirety of Sefer Vayikra, to the point where we expedite and double parsha constantly Vayikra in order to pack in Vayikra to Sfirat HaOmer, that should indicate to us that there must be a meaningful link between Vayikra and Sfirat HaOmer. In the same way that if the entirety almost, same thing also, they're both like one or two parshiot off, that the entirety of Sefer Devarim very underratedly takes place during the Zayin de Nechemta, the entirety of Sefer Devarim is always read from Ve'et Chanan on, minus Parsha Devarim, but from Ve'et Chanan on, it is read in its entirety every year, intentionally so. It's worked out to make sure it lines up. From Tisha B'Av until Sukkot, from Tisha B'Av, through the end of Av, through Elul Zman, through Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and then culminates on Simchas Torah, then it must be that Devarim is linked to whatever is the nature of the Tshuva process that goes on, that links Tisha B'Av to the Tshuva process of Yom Kippur through the culmination in Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret, Simchas Torah. But we don't think about that, and we need to internalize it. That's a very much a reality. So what's happening here is that at the same time every year, we're lining up two things. We're lining up Vayikra and Sfiras HaOmer. What is Vayikra about? The whole process of Vayikra. The whole process of Vayikra is the intentional process of purifying ourselves to achieve Kedusha. Starting from this week, we're removing all tum'ot, creating a reality of tahara, then embracing Kedusha and Parshat Kedoshim, and then even going through the process of all levels of Kedusha in Kedoshim, Emor, and Bahar, and then signing a contract on that in Bechukotai. That was actually a summary of Sefer Vayikra. That's what it's about. That's the entire process of Sefer Vayikra. And when is that happening? All during Sefer HaOmer. The process of purifying ourselves on a Torah level, of attaining Tahara and Kedusha, is all happening on Sefiras HaOmer. You watch again the beauty of literally everything lining up in a way that just explodes with potential for meaning and investigation of what Sefiras HaOmer is about. So he says here, back, we'll take it from the beginning of the paragraph again. Umaran, the Slonimer, Amar, Shebit Kufata Sefirat HaOmer, that during Sefirat HaOmer, Korim Batorah Parshiot HaKololot, we read the Parshiot that incorporate Kol Inyanei Negaim, all of the spiritual blemishes, referring here, I guess, more specifically to Tzara'at, and the purification of Tzaraat, V'inanei Tumah V'Arayot, Tumat Arayot, and also the Tumah V'Arayot, which is in the end of Parshat Achrimot. Lefisha bitkufa zo tzarich yudi lataheratzmo mikol inyanei nigaim mikol inyanei tumot mikol inyanei arayot. We're meant to purify ourselves on all negative character traits, on all level of tumah that we bring inside of ourselves. The goal is to purify ourselves. Ki hazman hazeh bimiuchad misugali taher mikol zeh. That this time in the year specifically is designed to purify ourselves on all of these levels. V'al piyam uvo'ar lemala b'sfirat ha'omer. Sorry, Shabbat Omer Kolelet, Bet Yanim, Haim Latarinu Lukibotinu Mitumotinu, Vain at Sahar Vet Kadesh Vidush Shalmala. And as we said above, we said in the previous year, from the Ribono Shel Olam that's at the end of Sphira that's counted every night, from that tefillah at the end of Sfirat Omer every night, that we're trying to accomplish two things. Litaharenu Milkibotinu Mitumotinu, to mimatar ourselves, to purify ourselves from our divisions between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our klipot, and our tumot, our spiritual impurities, and also on the flip side, not just to take ourselves out of the negative, out of the red, but to move ourselves into the green, into the positive, and also etaher ve'et kadesh b'kdusha shamala, to purify and sanctify ourselves with lofty sanctification. Matzinu b'parshiyot halalo, that we see in these parshiyot of Vayikra, gamet kol inyanei kedusha, all of the aspects of kedusha exist in these parshiyot. Kimo parshat kedushat achila, like all of the parshiyot, which we'll start already from this week, we'll see in Shmini, is the first time in full, we have the parsha of kedushat achila, eating properly, we remove all of the impure animals. B'parshat Shmini, hamistayemet b'hitkadashtem v'yitim kedushim, Shmini itself, which concludes with the verses talking about purifying oneself and being holy. O parshat kedoshim, and also parshat kedoshim to you. Parshat kedoshim to you. Hakolela kedushat. Kedusha uparshiot me'arayot, uprishat me'arayot, which includes within it Parsha Kedoshim, all of the inyanim of Kedusha, and also making sure to stay away from negativity in the negative relationships, impure relationships between man and woman. Ukedushat ha'kohanim, and then we move on in Emor to the Kedusha of the Kohanim. Ukohen gadol b'parshat Emor. V'chin Kedushat ha'moadot, and also the Kedushat ha'zman, the Kedusha that exists in time at the end of Parshat Emor, where we talk about all of the holidays. V'acharkach, and then finally in Parshat Bahar, we read about Kedushat Ha'aretz. We talk about Shemitah and Yovel and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And you see again, we're building here from removal of Tumah into a realm of Kedusha, and then all of the aspects of Kedusha, which he was here to hear, the way that my Rebbe puts it, the Kedusha in all three layers of reality. Sefer Yetzirah breaks reality down into three components. In the secular world, we found two of them. What are the two main dimensions of reality? Not a trick question.
Spirituality.
No, and that we found in science. We're not going to find spirituality in science. We break down the world in two primary dimensions.
We're not science majors either.
No.
What are you asking?
Space.
That's the question. Time.
Space and time. The two primary dimensions of reality are space and time. Physical space and the time that we use to move through it.
Cool.
No? Okay, well, we learned something there in science also.
I just didn't know it's called dimensions of reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Space and time. So Sefer Yetzirah adds one level, which is the level which is not detectable by science, which is... Batsheva?
Oh, physicality and spirituality.
Well, the other one, yes. Meaning spiritual. We define spirituality as the extra dimension that they add, that Sefer Yetzirah adds on.
Okay.
Meaning the physical realm is space and time, right. And then on top of that, we also have the realm of spirituality. Okay. Sefer Yetzirah has those three dimensions. Which it defines as, and these are the terms that you'll find in Sifrei Kabbalah and Chassidut, Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Yeah. Olam is space, Shana is time, and Nefesh is soul or spirituality. Olam, Shana, Nefesh. Roshei Tevot, Ashan. If you ever see that Roshei Tevot. So very beautifully at the end, when we reach the end of Vayikra, so we reach Parshat Kedoshim Tiyu. Then what happens? So we identify the highest levels of Kedusha in all realms of reality. That's why Vayikra doesn't end with Parshat Kedoshim, because it's the beginning of the discussion of the highest reaches of Kedusha in all realms. So what's the high? So let's go through them one by one. Olam, space. What's the highest realm of Kedusha in space? In the physical world. And this time of year in particular, this should be an easy answer. In space, what's the holiest space in the world?
Eretz Yisrael.
Eretz Yisrael, yeah. In space, it's Eretz Yisrael, right? So that's Parshat Bahar, where we talk about Kedushat HaAretz. In time, what are the holiest times?
The Ma'adim.
The Moadim. So that's at the end of Emor, we talk about the Moadim. And what is the highest level that the holiest of all people? What are the holiest of all people, even within Klal Yisrael?
Kohanim.
The Kohanim, and that's the beginning of Parshat Emor, and that's why those are going to exist after Parshat Kedoshim to you. All of Yisrael has a responsibility to become Kadosh, and then we identify those things which even supersede the highest levels of Kedusha in all realms, which in Torah order are going to present themselves as the Kohanim, and then the Moadim, and then Eretz Yisrael. Olam Shana Nefesh, we then go through the highest levels of Kedusha that can be attained on all of those levels. That's actually the end of Sefer Vayikra. And then again, we signed a contract on that Kedusha, which is Parsha Bichukotai. Totally different ways. No, it's the only way to really view Sefer Vayikra, but it's a framework to view Sefer Vayikra. It hopefully will change your experience of Sefer Vayikra. But that's what he's saying here, that we're going through this process of removal of Tum'ah, Tahara, and then Kedusha on all levels. That's literally Vayikra in a nutshell. A few lines up from the bottom, the first word on the line is Kedushat Ha'aretz. Kol ha-parshiyot ha'ilu, all of these parshas in Sefer Vayikra. Ha-makifot, kol inanei Kedusha, that are encompassing all aspects of Kedusha. Ba'ot lilamed, sheze ikar shel ish yehudi, are coming to teach that this is the essence of a Jew. You should be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In what context are we told? At what point in our history? We're told that in Sefer Shemot by Kabbalat Torah. So these two things are overlapping each other. Meaning, at Kabbalat Torah we're told, be a holy people. But then the question is, how do I be a holy person? Where do we find that out? Mm-hmm. In Sefer Vayikra, which we read when? During Sefirat Omer, before we actually get to Shavuot. And everything overlays each other. Everything overlays each other. Ve'eina kedusha bevechinat ha'hidur ba'alma v'tosefet ma'ala. And kedusha is not... We're not meant to miss it. Don't misunderstand. Kedusha is not like some hidur ba'alma. Like, oh, if you want to really, really, really get to a nice place, kedusha is a good thing to strive for. Right? Or some extra tosefet, some extra thing to add on. Or something extra to add on. This is the essence of Judaism. And the essence of a Jew, goy kadosh. If Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, you should be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Kedusha is our goal. Kedusha is what we're meant to accomplish. Take it in a different level, as long as we're talking so extensively about Sefer Vayikra, right? What is the centerpiece of Sefer Vayikra then? What's the centerpiece Parsha? Parsha Kedoshim. We're building up and building up and building up to Parsha Kedoshim. What's the center sefer of Chumash?
Vayikra,
right? Reshit and Shemot on one side, Bamidbar and Devarim on the other side. So the centerpiece of Torah.
Reshit and Shemot. Like
so if it's not actually the center Parsha, but it is the centerpiece Sefer Shemot of Sefer Vayikra. We're building up to Kedusha. That's the whole goal. So if the centerpiece of Vayikra is Kedoshim, and the centerpiece of all of Torah is Vayikra, what's the centerpiece of all of Torah itself then?
Kedoshim
or Kedusha. The center of all of Torah, the heart and soul of all of Torah is to achieve Kedusha, even on a structural level. It's not ancillary to Judaism. It's not additional to Judaism. It's the heart and soul of Judaism and Torah. It's to strive to Judaism. Now, if we talk about how the heart and soul of Judaism is to achieve a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, then food for thought. What is the connection between Kedusha and having a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu?
You can only have that once you're Kadosh.
I would say even deeper than that. We're not going to do it now. The two are actually one and the same. For another time. When you really want to unpack what Kedusha is all about. Little bit of just to throw something, a few things at you so that way you have what to think about. What is, we've talked about this before, what's Kedusha? Where does Kedusha come up in relationship?
Kohanim.
In relationships, all relationships. Where does Kedusha come up? The most significant relationship you can have in life.
Kedushim, like getting married?
Kedushin and marriage. So Kedushin is used for marriage. Kedusha is the centerpiece of Torah, and the whole purpose of life is to create a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Of Kedusha. Again, you start to see all those layers start to pile on top of each other again. Where somehow we haven't defined it well enough yet by any stretch of our imagination. somehow then kedusha, like kedushin, that word contains within it the essence of the depth of the relationship that we're meant to achieve with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is why Kedusha is the centerpiece of Torah, and why, like we talked about in previous Shirim, the goal of life is to create a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's all one and the same, different facets of the same reality, different ways of expressing that reality. Shalom. Different ways of expressing that reality. Tov. A lot of things that were not explicitly related to Sfirat HaOmer, but these are all Sfirat HaOmer Inyanim. And so important, especially for a sefer like Vayikra, which Rachman al Thun in our generation is a very much a lost sefer. When you have 4 years of high school, somehow you learn Bereshit, Shemot, and Bamidbar. That's what I remember from high school. And like in senior year, like they come up with some way to not do Vayikra or Devarim, because they're quote unquote the boring Svarim or the difficult Svarim, which is another way of saying we failed educationally as a generation. And since we as educators don't know the meaning of Vayikra and Devarim, we're going to pretend that they're not important and not teach them to our children, which is frightening. It's frightening that we in 1 year of English class can learn more than 5 books, and in 5 years of Jewish day school education can't successfully learn the 5 books of the Torah. It's an absolute failure of the day school education system. Absolute failure. Because Vayikra and Devarim are harder to get into, but look what we've already unpacked just in 15 minutes. Can you imagine that if you took a whole semester, a whole year, and actually spent time learning what Vayikra is about, not just in its structure, but piece by piece, parsha by parsha, you learn how to be a Kadosh Jew. But don't worry, we're just going to leave that part out. We're just going to leave out Devarim, which is what we talked about. When do we read Devarim? What do we say? When do we read it? Between when and when?
It's like Yom Kippur.
Between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. During the entire Tshuva process. So the only things we don't learn when we're in our most formative years are Kedusha and Tshuva. Otherwise, we're good. It's like a frightening thing. Because these are the hardest things to get into. But just because it's hard for us as educators or as people is the worst excuse to not teach them to our children. It's a chiyuv on us to make sure that we get into these inyanim and then properly pass it along to the next generation. But that's why those are the svarim which end up getting slighted. It's not because they're boring, it's because they're difficult to understand the depth of their meaning, because the depth of their meaning is so deep that they're even being covered up by the text, and you have to uncover the text in a deeper way to see the excitement of it. So it's not as flashy as Yetzias Mitzrayim. You're not going to see, Christian Bale make a movie about Sefer Vayikra as quickly as he made a movie about the Exodus. That's not going to happen. But that's because Baruch Hashem, secular culture hasn't yet managed to ruin those things for us also. But that's the idea here of what we're trying to get into. And these are some of the deepest pieces of what a Jew is meant to spend their lives working on. And that's what's happening during Sfirat HaOmer, which is also, by the way, why Sfirat HaOmer gets slighted. Right? Who wants to actually how many people want to have a meaningful conversation about really working on ourselves and becoming better people? Really talking about it, beat by beat, piece by piece, breaking it down and making it real. Not so simple.
Awesome.
It's amazing if you're a growth-oriented person. It's amazing. But that's why these things get slighted. I remember somebody told me at a particular day school. I was in touch with them when I was in Shana Aleph or Shana Bet in Yeshiva. I was in touch with this person who was still in high school. And they said, in my senior year, I'm taking a whole semester just on Sfira. And I was like so excited for them. You're going to learn about the Sfiras, and you're going to learn about the Midot, and you're going to get such a head start, and you're going to learn about, the Chesed, you're going to learn about Tikkun HaMidot. Like, what are you talking about? No, we're learning about the details of the barley offering. And I was like, total fail. Like, not to not also learn about that. That's incredibly deep because it's part of Torah. One needs to understand why the Omer offering is linked to Sfirat HaOmer also. I'm not denying that. But to have a whole semester in high school for a kid who's choosing to take an elective class on Sfirat HaOmer during their senior year of high school, to miss out on the opportunity to learn the depths of what Sfirat HaOmer is about, and just to spend the whole time running in circles around a barley offering, and not also add the depth, Chaval Azman. Chaval Azman. Whatever, it's very frightening. Seder. Hopefully that's deep enough in this year that I won't get backlash for commenting on the Jewish day school system. Let's finish up the paragraph and call it a day. So he says, the first one in line is the Ein, five lines up from the bottom of the paragraph. The Ein HaKedusha B'chinat Hidur Ba'alma. Kedusha is not a Hidur Ba'alma. It's not just something to add on. It's not a Tosefet Ma'alah. El Ezeh Etzem HaYehadu. This is the essence of Judaism. The Etzem Shal Yudi Liot Goy Kadosh. To be a holy Jew is the goal of being a Jew. Not in a flaky way, in a very real way. Kedusha is the goal of being a Jew. Ulefishi Yemeh HaSfira. Miyuadim L'Tahir Olit Kadesh B'Kedusha Shal Ma'alah. And since Sfirata Omer is geared toward, it's destined for being a time where a person can purify and sanctify themselves with the loftiest of holiness. Al kein korim bahem kolin ani kedusha hamakifim et kol mehut adam Yisrael. It's therefore and for that reason that it aligns with Sefer Vayikra, and we read about all of the inyanim of kedusha in all of their aspects, which is the essence of what a Jewish person is meant to strive to achieve. So we talked about today is about how Sfirat HaOmer is a time for Tikkun HaMidot, Tarat HaMidot, how Tarat HaMidot is a prerequisite for Kabbalat HaTorah, and therefore it needs to happen during Sfirat HaOmer. And that by doing that, we create ourselves a kiseh or a merkava, a seat or a chariot by which to hold and contain the Torah, and only through Tarat HaMidot can we accomplish that. That's why we're working on Beit Adam LeChavero, as is embodied by... the story with the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. That's why we work on Beit Adam LeMakom, which is embodied by the Parshat of B'Shalach. While working on Kedusha, which is embodied by the whole of Vayikra, which we're reading at this time of year, and why all of these things are layered on top of each other, which are all coming together to coalesce into a reality of working on our Midot and working to be a Mamlecha Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, working to achieve Kedusha in all areas, on all levels, and all levels, on all layers of being. Beit Adam LeAtzmo, Beit Adam LeMakom, Beit Adam LeChavero, and where we truly achieve an ability to receive the Torah from that place of Kedusha, to receive the Torah from a place of being this vessel which is ready to receive it by having sanctified all of those seven layers of the seven primary elements of our being, chesed, gvura, tefera, netzach, hod, yisod, malchut, in a way where when the Torah is able to come in, we have the balance necessary to receive it, to hold it, to live it, and to bring it into our lives in the fullest sense. Bezrat Hashem. We'll continue with this piece and Dalet next week.